I've spent nearly my entire life on the sea, and I've never seen anything like that shark that attacked the icebreaker. Like something out of a tale to scare children, it came at us hard. But with the help of the crew, we were able to send it back to whatever hells it came from. Now, as we limp back towards Fireshear, I can't help but think that these items we're carrying have something to do with the attack. But will we have smooth sailing from here on out? Find out on today's Short Quest, Long Rest.
Following the fight with the shark, you retire below decks, get yourselves situated. Is there anything you want to do before the end of your journey on the way to Fireshear?
Get in as many long rests as I can.
The rest of you?
I mean, I think after the first night of sleep, he'd wander the deck, but he wouldn't really do anything useful unless he's asked to. Sightseeing, mostly, I guess.
Whale watching?
The deck is surprisingly clean following the events of the previous day when you come above deck. Very badly damaged, but it is a bit reassuring to see that Captain Silvermane does keep a very, very tight grip on his crew. And you just notice from the activity over the next few days that he's done his best to keep everyone from dwelling on the loss of two of their shipmates by just giving them busy work. Every one of the sailors, and even you, Rian, are put to work. You know, and as they now more than ever need extra hands assisting where they can.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll definitely jump in.
Since
he knows what he's doing.
You look over your remaining list of deliveries, and as it turns out, you don't necessarily even need to travel the northern coast anymore. The rest of your deliveries lie inland. The nearest of them, actually about 40 miles north of Fireshear in the town of Hundlestone. Heading that direction, anyway.
Interesting.
And, Miri, I should say, after the fight, is incredibly hasty to crawl out of your pack and to make sure that you're okay.
Yeah.
And for the next couple days is just glued to your side, as she normally is, but more with like a worried air.
Oh, okay. That's cute. I almost sent her after the captain when he went in the water. If he hadn't have popped up before my turn came, she was going in after him to help him. But that would have been a whole thing. But
yeah.
Glad it didn't happen that way, because I want her safe.
Safe and sound.
She is gradually, over the next couple days, getting still bigger. Still fits in your pack. But you can almost notice every day she stands just a little higher and weighs a little bit more on your shoulder. There comes a day, eventually, where wounded after the attack on the icy seas, the icebreaker limps into the harbor of Fireshear. Captain Silvermane barks orders from the helm, commanding the vessel be docked at a shipyard on the far side of the harbor. As you pull into the shipyard, the very recognizable bulk of the icebreaker is greeted by a pair of familiar faces. The Durgar Griggle Dusklock, the smith that had unleashed a swarm of mephits a 10-day ago.
Oh, God, it's not
and
him.
And Kalanai Grafer, the woman in her, you know, sort of woven furs that had greeted you when you first arrived, are standing side by side at the end of the dock and raise a hand to greet you as the gangplank is lowered. There is a third smaller figure standing beside Griggle, little ways behind him. Seems to be a female halfling that the other two are, at the moment, ignoring as they kind of converse between themselves and notice you and greet you. What are you guys doing? You heading on to shore, or...
Oh yeah, he can't wait to get off that boat.
Yeah, get off the boat.
Yeah, I think Rian says his goodbyes to the captain and everything, and, you know, thanks him for the voyage and being understanding of all of our shenanigans.
As you approach the captain to give sort of your final farewell, he clasps your hand in his in this very, you know, tight, respectable grip, and gives your hand a very firm shake.
Thank you for keeping them in line as best you could. And thank you for taking care of that beast.
We did what we could, and it was my honor, and I appreciate everything you did for us on here. This was, this was a strange set of incidences and that happened upon your ship, but the Icebreaker's got herself a good captain. Maybe someday I'll serve under you again.
We'll be here a few weeks in harbor. You finish your deliveries, you come back.
I just might do that. He gives him a shake and heads to follow the rest of them off
the
ship.
Stay chipper, Captain. He just waves over his shoulder.
As Rian shakes his head, like, and kind of shrugs at the captain, like, can only keep him so much in line. Like,
you watch the captain just roll his eyes, then start barking orders to the crew on deck, ordering very hastily the organization of repairs to be done to the ship. A little too busy now to address you or join you on the dock. Mm-hmm. The rest of you, as you rush off the ship and descend the gangplank towards Kalanai and Griggle, you notice that, last you recall, Kalanai, you know, the woman that sort of leads this community, had every reason to be furious with Griggle, but the two are standing beside one another like old friends. And as you approach, the taller of the two, Kalanai, says,
Hail, friends of Fireshear. The people of this town are pleased to see your return, or I am, at any rate. What's brought you back?
My lady? Well, as you can see, kind of gestures to the ship, she's not really seaworthy anymore, so here we are.
What trouble did you have?
That, and she's kind of leaning past you to eyeball the damage done to the ship. In the meantime, Griggle is eyeballing you, Krellick.
I remember you.
Hi. We met.
Hi. Yes. We've met before, haven't we?
Hi.
Was that last summer? At the, we had a brewing festival.
We had the little, Muppet situation.
Muppets?
Yes.
Mephit.
What's a Muppet?
Mephit.
There's Mephits?
Oh, God.
Yeah, all I saw was Kermit doing the, oh, I guess you said that. The Muppet situation. Oh.
I recall now. Yes,
we fixed your
the
forge.
Mephits, my forge. Yes.
Hey.
Yes. I recall. Yes. What were your names again?
I'm Krellick.
Ah, we've met.
Rian. Yeah, Rian. Remember? I had the strange dog.
Very strange.
Okay. Yes, very strange.
I mean, I could
dog.
Just say Stuart. You wouldn't remember it correctly anyway. Felgrin.
No,
my
you
name.
Were. Yeah, yes.
Nice to see you again.
Pleasure.
So?
No, it's a pleasure.
Uh-huh.
Yes?
Yes.
I've been, you're wondering probably why I'm here.
I am.
Confessed to Cal and I what happened at my forge. And, long story short, I work a few hours every day to help repair the town and create tools to help others do the same. She's,
And he kind of looks over at the very tall woman, kind of watching the conversation passively.
Bit rude.
Seems to sort of change what he had originally been intending to call her.
But we grew on one another.
Oh, no.
Oh, Griggle, you dog.
You notice her get a little pink in the cheeks.
Yeah. Rian just raises an eyebrow, kind of looking between the two of them.
No possible way.
She gives the smallest of a very small shrug.
The world is
and just kind of, like,
unfair.
Nods, yeah.
Well, I believe I've seen everything now.
Say that again.
Right, oh! And he sort of motions to the halfling that has been standing there for a bit. And, motions her forward. Tavini, would you like to introduce yourself? Stop gawking at the robot.
hello! I am Tavini. It is happy pleasure to meet you. Yes, hello.
Well, you're an energetic one. Hello, it's nice to meet you too.
Hello. Is that armor that you are wearing?
And she points at Dreamer.
Yes and no.
Yes, no?
Most would call it his body.
That is your body? Fascinating.
And she just kind of stares.
Stares.
Well, we'll bend down and not hold out his hand. My name is Dreamer. Nice to meet you.
My name is Tavini. Tavini Albrecht.
And she, like, takes his hand and shakes it. And then she kind of just tilts her head so she can get a better look at his hand and figure out how it works.
Well,
I can tell you two are going to get along.
What do you mean by that? As far as...
That's a prudent question, Rian.
Yes, what do you mean we're going to get along?
Aye.
You're deliverers, aren't you?
We, aye. Yes, are deliverers, yes.
I've a delivery for you.
No.
Just hear him out. Hear him out.
I hope it's not a baby.
It... Please.
And Felgrin is just kind of like looking at you very strangely, and Kaladai has kind of cocked her head to one side, like,
Dreamer,
no.
Why do you say the things that you say?
Wait, we're picking up a baby?
No, there is not a baby involved, I swear. I'm so tired already.
So wait a minute. Where does the baby come in?
Whose baby is it?
Yeah. Is it her baby?
Lord, we're delivering the halfling.
Is it your two babies? You guys had a baby in the 2 weeks we were gone?
It was a joke.
It's impossible to tell when you're telling a joke, Dreamer. You know that, right?
Tavini's just standing there giggling.
Inflection. Performance. You have to sell it, Dreamer. You can't just say it, droning on as you do.
I think he'd lean in to Tavini and be like, yeah, they do this a lot.
It's entertaining.
Oh, yes, very much so. So, and I think he would kind of interrupt and be like, so we're delivering Tavini somewhere. Is that what you're asking?
I didn't say anything about her. I have a freshly smelted bar of adamantine that needs to go to Hundlestone, but I really only trust my briefly lived apprentice with it. Unfortunately, the events of the last 10 days or so have made it so that I cannot teach her as much as I might have.
Hmm.
But I recall that your group has a blacksmith of your own, don't you?
I know my way around a little bit.
Great, you'll get along famously. But this,
and he sort of reaches into a satchel slung over one side and takes out a very hefty bar of adamantine, and you have a couple of these already. They're very large. This one has just kind of like a cleaner sheen to it than the others that he has paid you with in the past. And as he holds it aloft for your inspection and kind of holds it for Tavini to see as well. Her being much shorter than him, she's about 2 feet tall.
This is about, the adamantine they forge elsewhere. This is going to revolutionize the world. I imagine it is twice the purity, easily. At least twice its worth. And I want the Smith Falstaff Shorthelm in Hundlestone to be given this as a sample that we might set up a trade. I supply him works for his forge, and, well, he supplies me with his mastercrafts.
Well, it definitely looks like a high quality.
It is!
Yes, it is, it is.
Yes, Tavini here has helped me the last few days when we haven't been fixing things around here. You know, given there were Mephits. Did you know there were Mephits?
Mephits? I do it back to Mephits? Where are there Mephits?
Yes, it was such a terrible time.
Fulgrim just slowly closes his eyes.
Right, right. I will pay you 5 gold for postage up front. And, Canon idea, I'll pay you 20 gold when you return from Icewind Dale. As I do recall, you had more deliveries up that way.
Aye, we had quite a few actually, sir.
There'll be 20 gold waiting for you when you get back.
I mean, it's already on the way, fellas. I mean, kind of silly not to tag him up on it. It's just a...
Aye.
It's just a piece of a bar of adamantium. We're going that way anyways.
I agree.
Forgive me, it seems I'm the only one who's going to ask the question, Tavini.
Okay.
Hello.
Yes. Hi.
Forgive me if this comes off as rude.
That means it's going to come off rude.
Hold on.
Here we go.
How do I put this delicately? Are you useful?
That it goes.
Dreamer's mouth just drops open and looks at him.
I am.
Yeah, it looks like it's like even Dreamer thought that one was a little loose there, bud.
That's a perfectly acceptable question.
Oh no, it is fine. It is fine. I am a cleric of Moradin. I can pray, and he can help me with my craft, and I'm an apprentice blacksmith, and I hope to do many great things.
That sounds fine. Well, forgive me. You look very young.
I'm a little bit small for a halfling. Just a little bit.
Well, I've met plenty of formidable halflings, so.
Yes, well. And she like tries to do like a little flex, and there's just nothing there. It's just like.
Chicken nice. Arms.
Yeah. Just pushing on the bottom of her bicep to like make it
well,
pop up.
Well, I suppose it is on the way. Welcome.
Then it's unanimous. Welcome to our little motley crew, I guess you'd call it. It's probably the best way to explain it.
It's sufficient.
Thank you. I will try to be useful, yes.
Fogger just smiles.
Do we have a map of the area we are going to?
I don't know. I don't think... Yeah, we got a... Didn't we have a map last time we came into Fireshear? Oh, maybe not of the surrounding area. Just the city.
You do. And I have something for all of you that is loading currently.
A mappy map. There's Fireshear.
Now, if you... And unfortunately, they won't be able to see this in the recording, but... For my players, if you go to the measure distance under basic controls on the left-hand side, this map I have painstakingly made to scale.
Oh, nice.
So, yes, indeedy, it is a 50-mile trip from Fireshear to Hundlestone. So you are all currently in the town of Fireshear, having just come from Arlsbarg on the western island there. You have quite a ways of travel up the Ten Trail to the town of Hundlestone. By road, it is 50 miles. If you're going to cut across the country a little, it is a shorter trip, but will probably take you longer, as it is all very deepening snow the further north you travel. As you finish, whoever is taking the adamantine bar from Griggle, he sort of sticks it back in his satchel, lifts it, the strap of it, over his head, and offers it to Tavini. So, yeah, it is a very heavy 10-pound chunk of adamantine.
You got that.
It weighs more than she does.
Do you need some help with that? You know, okay, here. Why don't you let me handle it? Don't worry, I can carry it for you.
Okay.
And she's like... offers it back.
It's fine. They're very nice. Good at carrying it. Things.
The hell does that mean?
It means what I said. Always so touchy.
Well, I don't even understand the things you say. It doesn't even make sense. Halflings are good
at carrying
things.
Like, you are good at carrying things.
Oh, I'm good at carrying things. So is that what you say? So that's what I am to you?
That's just,
I
part carry of things what for you, you are to me, yes.
Be like, oh, I see how it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I'll remember that next time when you're sprinting across the battlefield.
You mean strategically positioning myself? Yes.
Is that is also strategy when you turn yellow like that? Is that a hide amongst amongst your background? Is that a chameleon thing?
Could be. Is the bleeding profusely after every fight a you thing?
Yeah. He kind of drops his head to that. He's like, okay, we'll just consider
yes,
this.
Let's call it a draw, shall we?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I love you, fools.
Well, if we're going to be trekking through the mountains, we should probably pick up some clothes.
Aye, some furs.
That's a idea. That's a good idea. Probably need some more. How are we doing on rations? Is everybody? Well, we've been eating on the ship's head food for us, right? So
yeah,
we've been using that. So
and some of what are they called? Those things you strap to your feet that look atrocious.
Snowshoes.
Say again.
Snowshoes.
That very useful. Knowing things is useful.
I am from Ten Towns. I know much about snow.
Ooh, snowshoes. Yes, she's right. That's what I was trying to remember.
There we go. Okay, that's actually not a bad idea. So we should invest in some snowshoes. Make sure we're all topped up on rations. Tavini, do you know the route very well as far as from here to Ten Towns?
I have traveled it once. Oh no.
Okay. We're not going to need climbing gear or anything, are we?
Climbing gear?
Just making sure. I'm not sure what this specific trail will lead us down.
As far as she knows, there's no climbing portions.
No climbing portions.
Okay, cool.
As long as you stick to the road, it is comparatively easy travel.
Excellent.
No climbing, okay. Thank goodness.
Well, yeah, I wasn't really looking forward to that myself, but good. Good, okay. Well, we should probably get our items together, and then what time of day is it now that we're there? Is it like we arrive in the morning, in the evening?
It's currently late morning, creeping into early afternoon.
So we could probably set off today if we needed to.
Yeah.
As opposed to staying the night and waiting. Since I rolled so high on my long rest, so I got full health.
Wow.
Hey, it was literal because I had 12 points of health and I have 23 max and I got 11 on my roll.
Well, you don't roll for a long rest. Just... No.
You don't? Oh, you
no,
just get
you
a
long
never
rest.
Mind.
You
I'm
just
an
get
idiot.
It, yeah.
I'm an idiot. I'm like, no, it's great. It rolled perfect. I got exactly as much as I needed.
We all did.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh my what god, it's so crazy. Everybody got the same thing. We all got just enough to fill up. Oh my god. I don't know how I became like a John Travolta / Bobcat.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a nice amalgam there. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, that's Rian's new accent. It's a good time. Hey guys, what we doing? Come on, let's go. Almost sounds like the Steve Brule from what's his name? The where he plays the scientist guy, but like he just looks ridiculous.
Yeah, John C. Reilly.
John yeah. C. Reilly, thank you. the Professor mm-hmm. Steve Brule. What a treat. I don't even know.
So, judging based on what time of day it is currently, you probably have about, if you do a bit of shopping, 4 hours of travel out of town. At a normal pace, you're going to get about 12 miles out of Fireshear towards your destination.
That's not bad.
Okay, well, that's not bad. That puts us about a quarter of the way there.
Yeah. So is there like a general store where we can pick up those provisions and the clothing? And
yes. This being a coastal town, it is not difficult for you to acquire cold weather clothing as well as snowshoes. The cold weather clothing goes for about 10 gold apiece.
Worth it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Includes a heavy fur coat or cloak over layers of wool with a hood, goggles, and fur-lined boots and gloves. And as I mentioned boots, you notice that Tavini, little 2 foot tall halfling standing there barefoot in the cold.
Doesn't that hurt?
Huh?
Your feet.
What is wrong with my feet?
You're standing in the snow. Does that not bother you?
It is a little cold, but not as cold as 10 downs.
I just don't like being cold more than the average person. Makes sense.
What?
Additionally, snowshoes are 2 gold apiece. Weigh about 4 pounds. And whatever rations you need to stock up on, remember, they are fairly heavy.
Yeah. No, I'm good with what I got. My starting stuff will get us there, no problem.
So cold weather gear is separate from traveler's clothes.
Yes. It is its own unique organism.
Gotcha. Doesn't look like it's in the compendium thingy.
Nope. It is unique to the Icewind Dale compendium. So here is the descriptor on those. Same as I had described it before, which is the layers of thick clothing and, you know, hat, goggles, fur-lined boots and gloves.
I'd like to trade in that stone.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
You're selling those bad devils off already, huh?
Say, here in Fireshear, you'd be able to find a buyer. Let me roll a die really quick to see whether they'd accept it at its appraised price.
I'm taking that as a no.
So, hunting around for a bit while the others are buying the gear that they need, you do find a buyer. They would be willing to accept it hastily, as you know, you are looking to sell it right then and there, for about 80 gold.
80's not bad. And I am bad with money. So, yeah.
Okay. So, offloading that onyx for 80 gold.
Nice. Oh, I'm going to be hitting you up for a loan here soon.
Then I'd also like to pick up cartographer's tools.
Cool beans. Yeah, I will say, this being a port city, you guys will be able to find what you need comparatively easily. If it is something really outlandish that you're looking for, like magic and the like, we're going to do some roleplay around that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Who has the mechanical fish?
It's Dreamer.
Oh, that's right. I was trying to make sure we still had that damn thing.
Of course I still have it.
I'm just making sure. I couldn't remember who ended up with it at the end. I knew it was either Felgrin or you, but...
The adorable little mechanical goldfish in a bubble.
Yeah, it just bumps into the wall of everything. Comes after your finger.
God, I want that thing.
Like, actually?
I've seen people actually making them on Etsy. It's adorable. I need it.
What, the goldfish?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's great. But let me know when you guys are ready to continue, and we'll proceed.
Yep. I am good to go whenever you is ready.
Everyone
I'm
else?
In the clear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Then, for your first day of travel out of Fireshear towards the town of Hundlestone, comparatively quiet. You know, you are seeing very, very sparse wildlife in the area. And I want somebody to roll me a 1d100.
Oof.
So whoever wants to take charge on that.
Me.
Attaboy.
Dreamer.
Oh,
15.
Why
a 15? Come on.
We don't know. It could be fine.
I don't think it's fine.
So as you are winding your way northward, you do pass a small band of people in very, very heavy furs, each of them equipped with gnarly looking weapons that have plainly seen battle. About 6 or so people that eyeball your group as you pass on the opposite side of the road heading north. They're heading south towards Fireshear, and they just kind of give each of you a sidelong look. You have the very, very peculiar sense that you're being sized up as this group passes. Do you guys do anything?
I can tell you, Felgrin's not shying away from their looks. He's looking right back.
Tavini just like waves, like excited, like hello.
I think Rian noticing their looks would be will kind of make a comment about like, but like, boy, that
That giant undead shark we just killed. Oh, man, we didn't even get touched, did we?
Glorious battle.
Saved the whole crew. Ah, well, that's okay. They'll be telling stories about that for days, if not years.
Rian, roll me a deception check with advantage because of Felgrin quipping in.
Yeah.
Right.
21.
So the group, you know, as they're kind of, you know, approaching and then gradually passing you, giving you the side eye, and then continuing on to Fireshear, you do see them exchanging looks with one another, and you can hear quiet muttering. You aren't able to quite make out the words, but you do see sort of the biggest of them, this very tall man with scraps of, like, blonde hair. And I say scraps because it almost seems like he tried to shave his head and then missed a couple of places.
Nice.
But he gives a very terse shake of his head and jerks his chin up the road towards Fireshear, and the group hastily continues onward. You travel for about 2 more hours before the sun starts to set. It's a very strange thing because this far north, it appears just over the lip of the horizon, and it doesn't stay for very long before descending again. And Tavini, this is very unusual for you because you're used to how things are currently in the Dale, where the solar cycle is quite different, even just a few more miles up the road near Hundlestone.
So you said the sun went down and then came right back up?
You guys are so far north, you know, if you think of like the Arctic Circle where the days are incredibly short.
Yes.
You can expect that, and you have been experiencing that here in the north for a while.
10-4, okay.
So, what little light you had, or whatever sort of noonday you had, is very swiftly gone. And the night descends very rapidly as you kind of move off to one side of the road to start preparing a camp for the night. The temperature drops significantly with even just the diminishing rays of the sun. You guys are going to be taking a long rest here. Are you going to be setting a watch, and who is going to be on it?
I'll watch.
Yeah,
Dreamer, the entire night.
Oh yeah, Dreamer doesn't sleep. He can see while he's sleeping.
That's useful.
That's totally, we have a turret.
You sure do not? I
need to give you a gun.
get this man a gun. Do you not need to recharge? He kind of narrows his eyes as if he's not sure if that's right.
I do need to recharge, but I can keep watch over you all while I do.
Oh, yes, I remember. Oh, it's kind of ugh. But thank you. It's very useful.
You do not sleep?
No. I don't eat, either.
Do you drink?
Or drink.
What is powering you, if not food?
He just sort of taps on his chest. I'm just alive.
Tavini, like, shuffles closer.
Is it steam? Or gears? Or magic?
Probably magic. I haven't looked inside myself to find out.
Not a sentence I've ever heard.
Nor do I want to.
That would be like looking inside my ribs, yes.
Yeah, it's odd to hear it as literal, not metaphorical, when people talk about
Felgrin
looking inside.
Felgrin just nods. I think they're having this conversation separate.
Do you feel, pain?
Oh, yes.
Oh, do you feel emotions?
Yes.
So you have a soul?
Perhaps. Like, he tilts his head and he's... his eyes flicker, like he's blinking a couple times as he thinks about it.
And then he shorts out.
Tavini is just going to sit there for a while and just ask really simple questions, like about how he moves his hands and what it feels like, and when he like extends his arm, is he aware that it's like extended out that far, and all these sort of like little simple questions.
I think in every one that she asks him, I kind of turn to grin and be like, did you know that? I didn't know.
Shakes his...
Did you know he felt pain? I didn't think he felt pain. Shit. I feel bad about him getting beat up in that, on that shark fight.
I was shot and said, ow.
He did say ow.
Yeah, but it was one of those things
like
where
human
like,
mimicry, maybe? Like he hurt...
Yeah, you know, like sometimes when you jam your toe, but it doesn't actually hurt, but you still like yell out when you do it.
Yeah, like a raven. He's like, he sees us say ow, so he says ow.
Exactly, just like that. Just like that. That's what I was thinking.
Interesting.
But you are more complex than that. You feel pain, you feel emotions, you are different, but still the same.
Yes.
And then she's going to sit cross-legged near Dreamer, pull out her little notebook and start like quickly jotting down like important notes about Dreamer and everything that she learned.
Alrighty. So for this first watch, as Tavini is deeply distracted by her note-taking, Krellic and Dreamer, both of you give me a perception check. 24 for Dreamer.
Nice.
7.
7 for Krellic.
Open mouth sawing awesome. Logs.
Yeah, just passes out like.
And you said you had it.
My beard.
Oh, he said he had it.
Dreamer seems to lapse into what almost looks like an inert state, almost as if he had gone to sleep. But you do occasionally see those eyes flicker and are aware that there's still conscious thought of some kind going on behind those eyes. However, Krellic, what is your character doing that has him so distracted on watch?
Krellic is currently just going, looking at his shield. He's oblivious to everything. Like he saw a butterfly.
Now, it is very strange because here in the dark and the cold, there almost seems to be like a rime of frost on the metal of your shield, and no matter how you try to buff it out, the ambient air just has it freezing over again. It is very, very frustrating, and you imagine that too much time here in the frozen north, and... Why, your armor might get rust spots.
Oh, I don't like the snow. First it was the water, now we're in the snow. It's just frozen water.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
It's the dumbest logic ever, but it's perfect.
It's like Krellic logic.
I love it. Krellicisms? Is that a new term?
Oh, apparently.
It's gonna be.
Alright. So, you have the end of your watch come sooner than you almost expected. Probably because you were too distracted worrying about your shield. And it's time to set up the next person for the next watch. Who are you shaking awake? Is anyone joining our intrepid Dreamer on his watch?
Yeah, I think Rian would.
Yeah, I think he would. Krellic would nudge Rian. Hey, you're up. I'm going to sleep.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
He's going to snuggle up with his shield and go to sleep.
Oh, alright. Okay, no problem.
Tavini, are you staying up?
She probably fell asleep sitting upright.
Okay.
Sketching Dreamer.
So, little 2 foot tall halfling is currently like sitting on a rock propped up by her her elbow over some papers that she'd tried to write. And I would like a perception check from Dreamer and Rian. All right.
Can't win them all, boys.
Can't win them all. Mm-hmm. Well, I would say
15 ain't bad.
I would say in your inert state, it's not like you're looking around craning to see what's behind you. It's really a mode where you're listening and trying to get an idea of what, by the ambient sounds around you, what might be approaching. So, 15, 11. Things seem fine. It's a quiet night, Rian. And You notice that as the night deepens here, that off in the distance over the dale that you're heading for, poking up over the spine of the world that keeps the sort of gentler snows south of that mountain range from the truly icy waste north of the range, a shimmering curtain of light unfolding across the sky, very delicate, like rosy pinks and sunset oranges and greens in there. And it's very beautiful.
Pretty.
So I think he remarks on it at first, and then, but then kind of goes back to viewing just to make sure, because he knows his job is to be on watch.
All right. 2 hours pass uneventfully, and I'm going to need the next person on watch.
Well, you wake up, Rhea.
I think he wakes up grin. Mostly out of spite after the bleeding comment.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Like, it's your turn.
A turn for what?
It's your turn to watch.
Fine.
Don't worry, Dreamer's up there too. He'll keep you company.
Throw off the furs. Get up. Rub some snow into his face. Wake himself up.
It is crisp and cool.
Does he see Tavini sleeping, like sitting up? Is that what he sees?
Yep. Sees who? The
Tavini
Dreamer?
Sleeping up. Like sitting up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she's got, like, a blanket over her lap.
She's gonna shove her, like, bag behind her and just kind of, like, push on her forehead with a finger so she falls onto it.
Give her a little pillow. Aw, that's nice.
Well, nobody can see him being nice, so it's acceptable.
I
that
see you.
That is awesome. Dreamer sees all. Dreamer's always watching.
Yeah, so I think he would just kind of be walking around the campsite slowly, you know, hands in his pockets.
So if you want to give me a perception check in Dreamer, if you want to make another hearing check for me again.
Oh boy.
Oof.
Uh-oh.
6 and a 7.
Nat 1 from Dreamer.
Natty 1 from Dreamer.
So...
we ain't five shit.
Felgrin, what has you so distracted on your watch?
He does love nature. And from what you described to Rian, it's fairly beautiful here.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think he would get distracted by the sky, or, you know, spotting an owl in a tree, or a squirrel kind of skittering by, you know, anything, really.
Squirrel.
Just by the surroundings and the nature.
Yeah, the shimmering curtain of the aurora north of the spine of the world does draw your attention often over the trees. And the trees in this area, they're very sparse. Fire Shear, you know, kind of seems to be on the edge of an icy plain there. There is a brief moment where off in the distance you hear the barking of a fox. You know, those very distinctive calls that almost seem to echo across the snow, and it's very hard to tell just how far away it is given the immensity of the icy space around you.
You definitely smile at that sound.
The stars overhead are incredibly bright and beautiful this far north, the cold just seeming to enhance the, you know, bright, brilliant white light from them. Dreamer, you are distracted by what sounds like the wind picking up some. It is a very, very minute change, but it is enough where you're, like, gauging it over the next 2 hours. Like, oh, did it get a little louder? Did the wind get a little louder then? Is that a little louder? You aren't quite able to judge. It is very gradual, incremental changes.
Like a woodpecker just hitting his head.
Just a woodpecker hitting his head.
Yep. Not actually pecking at anything, just hitting his head against
something. All right, and who is who's taking the last watch with Dreamer?
Hey, nothing terrible happened.
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tavini is the only one that hasn't been up for a watch, right? Or did she take the first one? No, Krellick did.
No, yeah. Krellick did the first one. Tavini was, like, up talking with him a little bit, but technically it was Krellick's watch, so... Or you can grab me again. It's fine, if you want to do, like, a round robin back to me. Just to be a dick.
Yeah, how late did you stay up, Tavini? You think it was just like 20, 30 minutes? Or were you up for the full 2 hours? Chatting with Dreamer?
Good question. I don't know. I'd probably for like 20 minutes to an hour, so somewhere in there. Just started to drift off while drawing.
Yeah, I think you would probably wake her up in an annoying way, like sprinkling snow on her face. There you go. Your watch, little one.
What?
She just yawns.
Yes, make sure our robot here, he kind of knocks Dreamer's head, doesn't die. And then he walks away.
Huh? He's what?
And she just like sits up like alarmed, almost falling off her rock.
Okay.
Yeah, and so she'll get up, stretch, and then go back to sitting next to Dreamer.
Alright. Dreamer and Tavini, if you want to give me the last perception checks of this watch period.
This is the one.
11.
Oh.
Secret roll.
11 and a 6. Alrighty. Again, things are quiet. Nothing happens, and the night passes uneventfully. Seems that if that group had been eyeballing you up to perhaps waylay you overnight, that the remarks Rian made certainly made them think better of it.
That's right.
And again, the sun rises very, very low over the horizon. That very much Arctic Circle sun where you hardly get any daylight before it is gone again. And you have a full day of travel ahead of you as you start to pack up camp. You do find, I will say, how many checks did Dreamer succeed? That first one was really good, but then the rest were kind of dog shit.
Yeah.
Dreamer, you do find that as you were kind of almost in your meditative state, listening to things around you, that the wind had picked up overnight. It wasn't just you imagining it. And the snow, the very light snowfall that is now falling, seems to be blowing easterly. All the flakes that are coming past your face are just being drawn in a very gentle eastern direction.
Gotcha. So, with me noticing the wind, I'm actually going to get up and cast Druidcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get the forecast for the next 24 hours.
Turret and Weatherman.
Let's see. Whispering to the spirits of nature, you create one of the following effects within range. Da-da-da-da. You create a tiny, harmless sensory effect that predicts what the weather will be at your location for the next 24 hours. The effect might manifest as a golden orb for clear skies, a cloud for rain, falling snowflakes for snow, and so on. Okay, so describe to me what it is that your character is doing for this casting of Druidcraft.
So, Dreamer, when he casts Druidcraft, it's almost like he's pulling this energy from elsewhere. His eye turns green again, and he just sort of opens his palm to create this effect in his hand.
All right. So as you are, you know, focusing on the skies above and then, you know, checking down at your hand to see what is going to come, the snowflakes that are drifting easterly and accumulating on your, what would be skin, but we know is metal and wood, start to form a frost across your palm. And it's very strange because over the rest of you, you're not frosting over anywhere else. Your palm itself becomes almost pure white under these very large ice crystals that form. Very, very dense, till you can't see your palm anymore.
What you doing over there, bud?
He'll just sort of flex and break the crystals off.
Tavini is just enchanted. She's staring and watching this whole thing like,
wow. That was a nice trick.
He's going to look at the sky and just say, it's going to get very cold here.
It's not already?
it's going to get much worse.
Oh, that's good. Waking up to cheery news.
Man.
Suppose I should put these on, and he pulls his snowshoes out of his bag.
Yeah, get all dressed up, and I didn't even think of this, but well, I guess Miri was, like, diving into icy waters and shit. She should probably be fine. And so I get her a little, like a little cat coat.
Oh, you know, goodness.
Like a outfit. Like,
oh. The cat's pajamas?
Yep. There you go. She's the cat's pajamas. Nice. But, doesn't say, we gotta dress that, though, too. Because at some point, I'll be pulling Miri out for Tavini to meet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can actually feel her as you heft your pack onto your back. She, for fear of the stranger among you, remained hidden in the pack overnight. And as you lift it onto your back, you could almost hear this very low hiss. What are we gonna do?
Don't worry. Why don't you come on out? Come out and stretch out your wings a little bit.
Even with the stranger?
Don't worry. She seems a good type.
So, Tavini, you see as the others are getting ready to start moving out, you know, here 12 miles out of Fire Shear. There's no one around. Just a bit of wildlife that you heard overnight. And crawling from Rian's pack as he finishes muttering to himself comes first a long, sinuous neck with two very bright eyes and a small reptilian mouth, a bit of a curve to it.
Ooh.
Wing stretches out over his shoulder, followed by a second one on the other side of his head, as what appears to be a very small dragon with brilliant, very tiny, almost fish-like scales on its body, sits on his shoulder and curls a tail around his neck to keep her balance, and, you know, raises one forepaw to grip his ear so she doesn't fall over, stretching its neck out to peer at you very intently, almost anxious.
Tavini, this is my daughter Miri. Miri, Tavini.
Tavini's mouth is, like, wide open, and she's, like, staring.
That's about right.
Wide-eyed.
Yeah.
Is that a... is that a...
I believe the word you're looking for is dragon.
And she's going to, like, you know, shuffle forward really quickly and then just stop. And be like,
you have a dragon for a daughter?
I see where to meet too.
And Miri's like cocking her head to one side at this very, very tiny halfling that is very far below her.
Are you smaller than me? Or is it just because I'm up high?
Agree and giggle and like, why don't you get down there and find out?
She gives you a very skeptical look before gliding down into the snow beside you, Tavini. And, you know, standing on four paws with her wings sort of held up above the snow so as not to drag them in it, is still a touch shorter than you, probably only about 1.5 feet, so her head comes to about your chin.
Oh, no, looks like I am just a little bit taller. Oh, really?
And she sits up on her haunches and stretches up so she's sitting upright and just manages to get to eye level with you.
There you go, that's how you square up.
Fight.
He laughs at that joke.
Nice.
Finish her.
You're like, well, you got someone around your size now there. Tavini seems like good folk, so I hope you guys make the best of friends.
Well, you seem it.
As you hear, I am Tavini. It is a happiness, a pleasure to meet you.
And she does like a little bow of respect to a dragon.
Oh, I like her.
Oh, goodness.
I'd say you got yourself an admirer there. Seems like she's almost as interested as you. She is a dreamer over there.
I am Kapesk Mirik.
Kapesk Mirik.
Kapesk. Kapesk. Very good.
I call her Miri.
It's much easier. No offense.
And with a little flick of her wings, she like hops up and pads her way back over to Rian. And instead of flying to his shoulder, just kind of like digs her claws into the fabric of his clothes and pulls herself up back to his shoulder.
Nice. I feel like I kind of get She's getting a little heavier and pulls me down a little bit, like a little, like a kid that's just too big to start climbing on me anymore.
They're like, oh, you're getting big. I say it won't be long before you're bigger than Tavini over there.
Love to see you try that in 10 years. It'd be hilarious.
No, in 10 years, I'll probably be climbing on her.
And she nods very sagely.
I'm gonna be so much bigger.
You are? I'd say, if you're like, I mean, I don't know much about dragons, but from what I understand, you get pretty big, so you're gonna be a sight to see someday.
I'll have to start being nicer to you, that's for sure.
She gives
Felgrin putting away those brownie points now, bud.
Gives Felgrin a very, like, toothy, draconic grin.
I'm gonna remember you.
Everyone remembers me.
For better or worse.
But he gives her a little pat on the head as he walks by, Reed. And reshoulders his backpack.
So, what are you guys doing for the day?
Well, I think we're pushing on. Even with the storm coming, there's not really... It's that or double back to fire shear to let it blow over, but I don't think that's going to be a good call.
Tavini will quickly check that the adamantine is still there. The bar of very, very finely crafted metal.
Oh, yeah. Checking the satchel that was put in Rian's possession because it was a little heavy for you. You do find that the adamantine bar is there, safe and sound. Icy cold to the touch, but then everything here is icy cold and it doesn't bother you, so.
Yeah. And with that, making sure that she's taking her job very seriously, she will be ready to go.
Everything in order? Anybody have any last business before we head out? Have we woken up Craddock?
Oh, God. He just unwraps a scarf from his face and kind of walks over to Craddock. Starts kicking him. Yeah. Get up!
And unfortunately, he's back out of our... I think he got kicked out again. He lost his internet.
So I can beat... Yeah, I can beat on him as much as I want.
Yeah, just kick the shit out of him. Looks like we're leaving him here, everyone.
After the second nice kick or game. So, he kind of groans and grabs your ankle, and then just shoves it away and pulls himself to his feet.
Hey, there's our dwarven friend.
Yeah, motions to be given a moment to dress before you guys head out for the day.
Also, before we go, you all should save your rations. And
oh,
Dreamer will also cast Goodberry, because I prepared that today.
Nice.
Look at you.
Goodberry.
What a good berry.
You're such a good berry, Dreamer.
So, I'll get 10 berries, distribute one to everyone, then hold on to the rest.
Great.
He kind of looks at it suspiciously.
And when he casts it, it's like vines grow onto his hand where they blossom into the berries.
Not sure how I feel about eating your hand berries, but here we go. He just pops it in.
Ooh.
Not bad.
It is surprisingly delicious and filling for something so tiny. You get a bit of like a weight in your stomach as if you just finished a good meal.
I'll have to ask you about that one, Dreamer.
Why?
Because I'm curious. Why else? For nefarious reasons, Dreamer. Okay, winks.
Thank you, that was delicious.
That wasn't bad. Filled me right up. Surprisingly filled me right up. It's just a couple of little berry. It's interesting.
The light in Dreamer's eyes, like, narrow at Felgrin.
Oh, God, so uptight.
But then they'll open up and it's like, you're welcome, everyone.
He's the only one that can piss off the Warforged.
Yeah, no shit. But yeah, we should keep our eyes open if there's a storm coming. Need to keep our eyes open for any shelter coming up. Maybe something we can, spend the night in as opposed to exposed.
So, good idea. Sticking to the road, you travel northward throughout the day. 8 hours of travel, which, at a normal pace, with good roads, about 24 miles. And as you are now 36 miles out of Fire Shear, about 14 away from Hundlestone, throughout the day, the snow has very, very incrementally gotten a little heavier. As evening prepares to fall again, the snow is much thicker around you. Additionally, the wind has picked up even more. It's now blowing at, like, almost all the snowflakes are falling at a 45 towards the east, whereas before they'd just been kind of drifting gradually that direction. And you're feeling that cold front from off the sea of moving ice coming closer and closer, pushing eastward. It is still decent visibility even as dark descends, but you get the feeling, especially you, Dreamer, given that you had taken the forecast, that the icing over of your palm may not have just been an indication that it was going to get very cold, as the snow over time is getting thicker and thicker. But 8 hours of travel. You guys can push on if you want. For every hour beyond this point, if you want to push 16 miles to Hundlestone, it is going to require a constitution saving throw to see if you don't get exhausted.
Do they have a reason to push? I mean,
besides the storm.
They can take their time, right? Yeah, well, the storm.
Yeah, the storm's really the thing.
That's true.
I mean, it sounded like she was hinting at, like, supernatural. At least that's how I was taking it. You said it wasn't just it was going to get cold.
I would say
it was something else.
Dreamer, roll me a nature check.
Oof. Seven.
Seven? I mean, it's the frozen north. Could be anything. Could be a heavy snowfall. Could be a blizzard. Could be whiteout conditions coming. Could just be really heavy winds.
Yeah. Yeah, if we don't have that info, as far as that goes, then I would imagine Rian would just be calling for us to look for, because it is getting colder, to look for some type of, like, maybe scout around for a cave or an outcropping of, like, in the hills, preferably to the west, so that the, like, if we can find, like, a nook that when the wind blows over, the storm blows over, it goes over top of us, kind of a lee of the stone type thing.
Does Tavini, like, having lived in 10 towns most of her life, does she have any, like, idea of how bad this storm is looking like it's going to turn out?
You have experienced enough storms, and especially with the way things have been north of the spine of the world, you've had your experiences with cold, so I would say you can go ahead and give me a nature check as well.
Alrighty. Four.
Four.
Nothing about no
You're
nature.
Familiar with the weather patterns north of the mountains. Not so sure of those on the sort of southern, almost plains down here. You know, you have spent a lot of your time on the edges of a lake where the wind just kind of seems to come off the water. And this is similar because it is coming off the ocean, but on a much grander scale. I will say about this time of day, you are looking at dim visibility as the light is fading in the sky to find shelter. If you guys want to roll survival checks.
Yeah, I think she'll try to help.
Not great.
So a 9, a 4, a 5, and a 16 from Dreamer there.
Yay!
Hooray, Druids, Dreamer. Right?
Yeah, nice shit. Let's say, that's actually fantastic. I was, like, really worried. I was like, man, we're in trouble. Like, we're not rolling well. We have no idea what this storm is, and can't help it. This is kicking off some serious shit right now.
So, Dreamer, you do find on the western side of the road, which is where you had been concentrating your search alongside the others, what seems to be a cleft of rock, almost like a rock has been split into a boulder from tumbling down the hills here. But as you search a little closer, you do find that there is a gap between them wide enough for someone to pass. That this boulder had, in fact, either fallen in front of a cave mouth or been rolled in front of it. Through it, in the sort of space between this split boulder, it is very, very dark. Can you remind me, do you have dark vision?
Negative, but I do have a torch.
All right.
Wait.
He does have a torch,
Wait,
ladies.
Do I? I thought I did.
What'd you take? Did you take the adventure
path?
Well, then you should have a torch. and a tinderbox. Torch should be under consumables, not in the...
It's not there.
You should have 10 torches.
I guess I don't have a torch.
No.
Well, you can see one hanging from Felgrin's backpack if you want it.
Yep, same here.
I will grab someone.
Just grab the
Who
torch.
Do you grab?
Yeah, just—he's just gonna grab a person.
Tavini has a torch. What? They can just like physically pick what? Her up.
Why are you handling me, Dreamer?
Yeah, I'll pick up Tavini.
Just hold her up in the air, carry her forward, with the torch out, like fucking Lion King style.
So, Tavini, what are you doing? As Dreamer, kind of like he finds in the dim light this cleft in the rock, and after peering in for a moment, comes waddling over to you and tries to pick you up. Do you allow that?
Since it's Dreamer, the Tin Man, yeah.
Okay. So you find yourself hefted several feet above the ground, and it's a very, very, almost uncomfortable sensation. Not a lot of people in your lifetime have picked you up, unless they were your parents, and they were still low to the ground.
Yeah, so her little feet are kind of, like, kicking a little bit.
Rian's like, Dreamer, I don't, that's, normally we don't do those, that type of thing, but,
pick her up and put her on my shoulder. I need your light.
Oh! Oh!
And she will use her tinderbox to light her torch and hold it forward.
There we go. He used his words eventually.
Yeah, he got there. Took him a little bit, but he got there.
So, ducking low at the entrance, it is only about 6 feet high.
Oh, so I even have to duck.
Yeah. I kind of turn to grin and just be like, he does know we can see in the dark, right?
I don't know, but I can.
The torch held out in your extended hand, Tavini, illuminates a space that is very, very small cave. You can see it's probably about 10 feet by 8 feet. Almost a little better than a closet. Dry all the way through the back, but very cold. It does seem that, you know, snow has blown in through this cleft in the rock. And the entire floor of the cavern is just thick with snow, and even the corners have snow drifts built up in them. But otherwise serviceable as a shelter.
Good find. Good find. This is good. Okay, we should probably get a fire going so we can stay warm through this storm coming through.
I still have my torch lit.
There you go. Not to be good for getting us started. I think Rian will... We'll hop outside and see if he can't find some, like, wood and or some, like, kindling.
Give me...
To get a little
fire. Give me a survival
started.
Check.
Sounds good.
18.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, searching in the dim light, and you are noticing that as you step out of the cavern, the snow is falling much more thickly, and you're starting to hear the wind howl, especially through the... almost the hilly passes... westward of you. They are rattling the trees. The boughs of some of the pines around here are starting to sway. And in all of this, you do find a fallen tree that you're able to pry some branches from. And even some larger pieces, you know, you kind of grab them and, you know, kick them free with your boot and are able to haul back a sizable armload of firewood for the night.
Nice.
It's a bit of a struggle trying to like squeeze into the cave holding them, but you manage. And dump it into the snow on the cavern floor.
Okay, let's get I'll get this fire going, get this all set up, and Tavini, have your torch ready. It's like, well, this should be able to keep us warm. I'd say even if this storm sets in, at least this cave should keep us safe for the most part, so.
Okay. She's going to help clear an area for the fire.
So, brushing away the snow, in the center of the cavern, it's really only about 6 to 8 inches deep before you find barren stone to actually lay the fire down on. And as you're clearing out a space for the fire to be laid, your hand brushes against something hard under the snow.
Huh?
She will pause and then kind of clear away the snow, the dirt and snow around this hard thing.
What you initially feel is what feels like something round and hard in the snow. But as you're brushing some of it free and revealing what lies underneath, you are finding a long shaft with a jagged end. And still, you brush aside more and pick it up and find yourself holding what looks to be a broken femur.
I knew it.
And then some of the other bones are cleared away. You're finding still other broken and gnawed pieces, eventually exposing a skull, a humanoid skull.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Homie.
Yep. And she just kind of drops it and shuffles away and goes and looks at the entrance. Because now she's on full survival mode and she's trying to figure out how long ago whatever that thing is that, you know, broke those bones.
Yeah. Last time it was here.
You just kind of...
Obviously, this is something... Something's
I would
dead.
Say... Yeah. Let's see. Give me... Either you can do a medicine check to try and determine maybe, you know, what was cracking those bones or how that person might have died, whether that happened in life or after their passing. Or survival check to get an idea of what might have been in here. But it would be at disadvantage because everyone came tramping through and you guys have already cleared a lot of the snow and debris out a little.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, then she'd probably focus on the bones instead of going to the entrance and try and figure out, like, what happened.
So go ahead, give me a medicine check. A 19. All right. So as you are investigating these bones, you know, you're kind of, you know, checking over the broken end, and you can see, even frozen, that whatever was gnawing on the end of this had very clear molars, and there's a lot of abrasions on the bone from something with sharp teeth gnawing at it. Some of the marrow in the bone still remains frozen, but for the most part has been splintered and sort of gnawed out of there. This is definitely predation of some kind.
These are bones, and they appear to have been, chewed.
Well, it seems like we've stumbled into something's den. But, unfortunately, I don't care what it is, I'm not going back out there in that storm.
Well, we can kill whatever this is more easily than we can kill weather.
Aye.
So...
We're actually of the same mind on that one.
For once?
For once.
I will say... Tavini, since you were rooting around in the bones there, let's see, your passive perception is a 13?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just bones. You do find scraps of cloth in there from whatever this person was wearing. Clearly cold weather gear. Does seem to be more buried in the snow, but you've found just about most of it.
She will try and gather up the bones, put them like towards the entrance, far away from where everyone is, and then she will say a little prayer to Moradin, hoping that whoever those bones belong to, you know, they have a good afterlife.
All right. And as your prayer for this departed soul sort of fills this very small, cold space that is growing warmer now that there's a fire down. Even the fire seems a little cheerier with the sound of Moradin's prayer filling it. You can see that through the cleft in the stone, the fire is tossing out a bit of light, a very narrow, almost foot-wide beam of it out onto the snow, which gradually... The firelight that is falling on the snow outside almost starts to retreat towards the shelter. And it's not because your fire is dimming. It's because the snowfall is growing more and more dense outside, so thick and so plainly white that the light that strikes it is hardly able to penetrate. You cannot see more than 30 feet out there, even those of you with dark vision. It is a total whiteout outside. and it is a very good thing you were able to find somewhere to shelter. The wind picks up, and through it, very distantly, almost imagined, you can hear what sounds like howls, not those of wolves, but something larger and deeper, carrying over the wind.